Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever entered a business or a social engagement, maybe a restaurant, or maybe even a church, and you were made to feel like you didn't matter? You ever been to a place and you thought, man, they don't care if I'm here or not? You know, I've even heard a person or two say, you know, once upon a time I came to the assembly and not a person talked to me. I didn't feel like I mattered and I never went back. Every time I hear that said to me, here's what I say to them. Well, we're doing our best to change that. Give us another chance. Because we want people to know when they walk into the doors of our church that what? They matter to us and they matter to God. A couple years ago, we adopted a statement for our church motto that goes like this: because people matter to God, we will be a catalyst of spiritual transformation here in Central Arkansas and around the world. And we've been kind of trying to ring that home the last few years. You've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it on letterheads. You've heard me say it before. But this year, 2022, we're going to rally around the first few words. You've seen it on the banners outside. Now you see it on this banner behind me. We're going to rally around these words that simply says this: because people matter to God. Why did people show up here this morning? Did you know people showed up here at 7 o'clock this morning to start making coffee? And people showed up here at 8 o'clock this morning to start getting kids ministry ready? And people started showing up around 9 o'clock this morning to get tech stuff going and worship stuff going? People got here at 8:25 to get ready to welcome you. So when you walked in the door, hopefully you felt like you matter, that we're glad you're here. Do you know why all those people did those things they've already done this morning? Why do people give to Kingdom Builders? Why do people serve in any capacity? They do it because, number one, they love God, but number two, they've discovered that people matter to God, which means you matter to God, which means I matter to God. Even a quick reading of the Word of God, you may not understand a lot if you'll just read the Word of God quickly, but one thing you'll pick up on is this: people matter to God. He'll move heaven and earth to reach people because He loves people. Perhaps no scripture in the Word of God, perhaps there's no scripture that's more famous in the Word of God than the scripture that says what I'm talking about best. Many of you could quote it. If I were to ask you, what does John 3:16 says, many of you could say it with me. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 also lets us know that people matter to God, because it says this phrase: "This is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who wants most people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." That's not what it says? Oh, I know what it says. It actually says, God, this is pleasing to God that people that look like me will come to know Jesus as their Savior. You know, people that look like me, smell like me, talk like me, vote like me, enjoy what I... That's the people that God wants to come to knowledge. Or does the Bible use a different phrase? What does it say? Who? Well, y'all went to school a lot longer than I did. So would someone please explain to me, what does the word "everyone" mean? All. Not most people? No. Not some people? No. What does it mean? All people. Everyone, everywhere. Vision Sunday is about this. God has put the privilege in our hands to reach everyone, everywhere, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world where people are standing up, they're screaming up, they're shouting up, they're throwing a fit to stand up for their rights in the streets. But friends, can I tell you, there is no greater human right on planet Earth than the right for those who have never heard the gospel to hear the gospel. Amen? That's why we exist. And why we do all that is because people matter to God. So Father, I pray this morning, as we've heard from a little bit of your word this morning, that you would plant fresh, deep roots of this reality in our hearts, that people matter to you, so therefore they must matter to me, and they must matter to our church. And lead us and guide us in this year and in the years to come to know how we can reach others who are far away and even those who are across the street. Help me today to speak what needs to be spoken. Help us to hear and respond to what the Spirit of God would say to us today. And we'll give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. So people matter to God, right? You know, and people don't matter because they're perfect. People don't matter because they come from a certain area or a certain background. They don't matter because who they are socially or what they have to offer financially. People don't matter because they come from one side of the tracks or the other. People matter to God because He loves them. Matter of fact, the Bible said that that people matter so much to God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't about who we are or what we could do. It was simply about the fact that God loves us. And if people matter to God, hear me this morning, if people matter to God, then they must matter to us. If everyone is who God wants to come to salvation, then everyone is who we must be about seeking and participating in their salvation, because people matter to God. So the question I want to answer this morning is, how can you and I emphasize this value that people matter to God? How can I live this out on a daily basis? How can we put some handlebars to this vision that God has given the local church to spread the good news around the world, locally and globally? How can we grab a hold of what God's called us to do? I believe there's a few ways this morning. Number one, we must realize that love is a motivating factor of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." It doesn't say He was mad at the world. It doesn't say He pitied the world. It doesn't say that He was so put off or offended by the world because of its evilness. No, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. When He says He loves the world, He's not talking about the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the streams, though I value those things. He wasn't when He says God so loved the world, He wasn't talking about our world systems or our political systems. As a matter of fact, there's other portions of Scripture that says don't have anything to do with the things of the world. So when He says that God so loved the world, you know what He was talking about? He was talking about humanity. He was talking about you. He was talking about me. He was talking about every person we've ever met walking down the streets or going down the hallway of a school or a business place. When He says He loves the world, what He means is yellow, black, and white. They're precious in His sight. That's what He means when He says, "For God so loved the world." That's what He means. And we've been called to love people. Sometimes I feel like we lose what we're supposed to be doing. And the reason we lose the what we're supposed to be doing is because we lose the why of why we're doing it in the first place. The reason why we do anything we do is because we love God and God loves people. So therefore, I must love people. And so that the love of people compels me to live my life in a certain way. See, here's the deal. To try to serve people, help people, offer salvation to people through Christ without loving people first is very problematic. Did you notice that the Bible doesn't say that God sent His Son Jesus to save the world, and once they got perfect, He decided to love them? No, He loved them. He loved us in our broken, busted condition. He loved us. And I've heard people say, you know, maybe you've heard someone. Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, I just love kids. I just love kids. I love kids." Man, don't you just love kids? I love kids. Kids are awesome. Right into the point where their neighbor's kid drives their bike across their yard, and all of a sudden their love for kids kind of diminishes really quick. And that person that says they love kids all of a sudden turns into a, "Get that bike out of my yard." And you discover that maybe they don't love kids. Maybe they just love their kids. How many understand there's a difference between loving kids and loving your kids? Right? It's easy to love your kids. I mean, your kids can throw a fit and throw up on you sometime, and you'll say, "Oh, isn't that cute?" If they're young. I remember when Stella was born, she had whatever that thing is where you feed them and they spit it back up on you. And we wanted to have kids so long, I was like, I'm going to show that stuff off. Isn't this awesome? But you let another kid do that on me, I'm like, whoa, wait, that's not cool. What's the difference? Love, right? I love that baby girl so much, she could spit and do it, and she did, you know, all over, I don't care. I loved her, and I endured things. I'm just saying this, we'll never reach people we do not love. The reason Jesus said, for God so loved the world, the reason he started with love is that has to be our motivating factor, because you cannot reach people you do not love. We have to love people beyond our differences with us. We have to love people despite how they treated us. Why? Because they all matter to God. I don't know if you ever read the book of Hosea, but in the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, in chapter number 3, God actually commands a prophet named Hosea to go marry a woman who has cheated on him and who will cheat on him again. I don't know about you, but wouldn't that be a hard task for God to command you to go marry someone with the only guarantee is this: she has cheated once and she will cheat again. But Hosea, he was commanded to do this act that we don't understand for one reason. God was trying to tell Israel, his people, that even though you have played the part of an adulterer and you have betrayed me and left me and harmed me, I'm choosing to love you. I love you. And God has called us to love people. And I understand that's hard. Love has to be based. The reason I'm spending so much time on this is because love has to be based on a feeling. You know, I think it was that gospel group named Boston back in the 80s that sang a song, More Than a Feeling. Right? Anybody know that gospel group? Okay, no, you're too spiritual for that. But love has to be more than a feeling. Right? We have to love people despite, let me tell you some ways we have to love people. We have to love people despite their indifference to the gospel. We have to love people despite how inconvenient it is to minister to them. We have to love people despite their inconsistencies with their attempt. We have to love people despite their inadequacies to give us anything in return. We have to love people despite the fact that they return our love with insults. Matter of fact, Jesus said you should kind of expect that to happen. You have to love people despite their ignorance to the truth. You have to love people despite the isolation they say they desire. You have to love people despite the irreverence they display to the things of God. Why? Because even those people matter to God, and so they must matter to me. Doesn't mean that we excuse people's deeds or that we change the definition of truth or the definition of sin. Doesn't mean we do any of that. But we can love people just like God loved us. He loved us so much that while we were sinners, he died for us. While people are sinners, we can still love them beyond their sin. Yes. Yes. Number two, we have to understand that loving people without sacrificing is just good intentions. For God so loved the world, he gave. Love that, listen, this is true for loving people. It's also true for romantic love. Loving that does not lead to sacrifice is simply lust, infatuation, or flirtation. For God so loved the world that he gave, he sacrificed. Did you know you're never more like Jesus when you give of yourself for the cause of God? Never looked more like him. Jesus had a desire to reach humanity, and he matched that desire with sacrifice. And by the way, sacrifice is not giving up what is convenient to you. Sacrifice is when you give of something you'd rather keep. Sacrifice is not giving till it hurts. Sacrifice is giving till it hurts and then give some more. Jesus did not come and give till it hurts. He came and he gave until it hurts, and then he kept right on giving because he loved humanity. He wanted to see humanity rescued. Recently, I read a survey that said in America today, it costs $272,000 to raise a kid from age 0 to 18. $272,000. And when the U.S. government gives you a $3,000 tax credit, you think they're doing you a favor. That's the best racket in town. Sorry, a little bit of flesh kind of got in there. $272,000. Why on earth would you ever have a kid if you knew it was going to cost you $275,000? And some of you crazy people in the room, you've got three or four of those dudes. Some of you have signed up to spend over $1 million raising kids over the next 18 years. What is wrong with you? But yet, you keep having kids. You keep fostering kids. You keep adopting kids. And some of you haven't even, you didn't even ask for the spreadsheet of how much it would cost you. If I were to tell you, hey, there's this great house down the street for sale, I think it would be great for you. It's $1 million. Or it's 800, maybe you got three kids. It's $875,000. Most of you would pause. You wouldn't buy the house, even though the house has resale value. But you sign up for the kids. Why? What's wrong with you? You do it because you love them. You do it because you really don't care if it costs $275,000 or $375,000 or $1,001,000. You're not giving up your kids, right? You love them. You sacrifice for them. And we sacrifice with joy because we think, man, kids are worth it. Pastor, are you saying that I should make people matter to me just as much as my kids matter to me? Well, Jesus said it like this: love your neighbor as yourself. That's a tough order, isn't it? And I'm not preaching this to you as a guy that has it. Just follow me because I'm getting straight A's in this category. No, sir. No, ma'am. God's still working on me too, but I know God's called me to love people. And we have to remember that there's an urgency to this, because my third point this morning is this, is we have to remember that God can transform any life. Look at verse number 16. For God so loved the world so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. One of the things we forget or we don't understand is sometimes we think that this perishing that Jesus is trying to save people from starts upon their exit of this life. But people are not perishing in eternity only. There's people around, there's people that live next door to you, they're perishing right now. They're perishing right now because they don't know the hope you have. They don't know the joy you have. They don't know the salvation you have. They don't know what it's like to have someone love them just as they are. They don't know what it's like to wake up in the morning and know as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed my sins from me. They don't know that. They don't know that. So they're perishing today. So we got to love them today. Salvation, living for Jesus, telling others, isn't about just saving them for eternity. It's about saving people today. And every day we put it off, people continue to perish. There's a story my kids love me to tell. When I was about 9 years old, we were living in an apartment building while my dad was building the next house that we live in. And so we were living in this apartment. My mother went to the kitchen to start supper. She started supper. She saw one of our neighbors pull in the parking lot. So she went out into the parking lot, began having a conversation with our neighbor. And I'm sitting in the living room watching Looney Tunes, and I notice that smoke starts billowing out of the kitchen. And I walk around the corner, look in the kitchen, and the whole stove area is in a blaze. It's on fire. And so I go to the front door, and I say, "Hey, Mom!" And she said, "Wait a minute." And I'm like in that, you know, 9-year-old kid, "Hey, Mom!" And then she gives me the finger. Not that finger. This. Any of you ever have your mom give you this finger? It means be quiet and don't talk to me. So she's in the parking lot giving me the finger like this. And I'm saying, And finally, the neighbor she's talking to, you know, my mom has her back to our apartment. The neighbor's looking at our apartment. I'm still, and the neighbor says to Mama, hey Linda, I think your house is on fire. And she turns around and we call the fire department. They come in and it was the coolest day of my life. The fire truck show up to my house, you know. And they put the fire out and they leave. And Mom sits me down and she says, now listen, Greg, no matter what Mom is doing, if something urgent is going on, you need to interrupt me and let me know the house is going. And of course, Mom, I tried. And she just said, well, next time, try harder. And we look at the Bible says that he wishes none would perish. We have to get our urgency. And sometimes we say, well, God, I'm trying. And I just hear the voice of God saying, try harder. They're not going to perish sometime in the future. They're perishing now. People perishing is an urgent matter, so therefore we must have an urgent response. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not something he's going to do in people's future. That's something he's doing in people's present. But Jesus also goes on to say, but I've come that they may have life to the full. Not just someday in the future, but I've got full life for them right now. I've got abundant life for them right now. I've got a life of healing and restoration for them right now. We've got to be about our Father's business and remember that God can transform any life, even though people are perishing now. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 19, there's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he's wanting to feed them, and he asks, hey, doesn't anyone have some food? And they argue, you know the story. Finally, they found the little boy's got a little bit of fish and a few loaves, and Jesus breaks it, multiplies it, says, now you go give them something to eat. And when they are done, what do? They take up more than they ever passed out. A lot of times we read that account in the Word of God, and we think, wow, I'm thankful God's the God of provision. He can cause me to have more than enough when what I don't have is near enough. He can do that. But I also want to ask you, look at that scripture this morning and think about this. Jesus uses people like you and I to get what he has for them to them. You and I are the channels. You and I are God's delivery system for what he wants people to have an experience in their life, which brings me to my fourth point is this: you are the plan. Some of you aren't going to like the way this sounds. Some of you are saying, no, Jesus is the plan. But you are the plan that Jesus has ordained to bring his good news to people. God sent Jesus, but Jesus is sending you. John 20, verse number 2, Jesus said, peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. You are sent people. We are sent people. Why are we sent? Because people matter to God, because people are perishing today. You know, as a kid, I always wanted a particular job. I never got the job. I always wanted the job of being a newspaper delivery boy. I just thought that'd be the coolest job in the world because, you know, after all, the guy in the movie Rad, that was his job. We just kind of had to have a moment real quick. I don't know anything about that movie. I can see by the expression on your face, but I don't know. Do they still chunk newspapers today? Or is that like, they don't do that anymore? How many of you know what a newspaper delivery person is? So I can still use the illustration, good, because I don't have a backup plan. If you're a newspaper delivery person, whether you threw them out of your car or whether you threw them off your bicycle, you had one job. Deliver the paper in a way that was findable by the recipient, undamaged, and unharmed. If you're the newspaper delivery person, you didn't have to write what was in the newspaper. You weren't responsible for what was in the newspaper. It wasn't your job to even make sure people read the newspaper. But your job was to make sure the news arrived in a presentation that was findable, readable, and presentable. And oh yeah, here's another big one: on time? Who wants to read yesterday's newspaper? So if you're not on time, it's of no use. In the same way, God has called us not to make up the message. He hasn't called us to decide whether people are going to receive the message or not, but He has called us to be deliverers of the gospel, deliverers of the grace of God. And this year, we're going to deliver the good news to Cabot. I said, this year, we're going to deliver the good news of Jesus to the city of Cabot. Amen? Amen? We're also going to deliver the good news of Jesus to places I cannot pronounce around the world. Amen? Well, Pastor, how are we going to do that? Well, we do it through our ministry called Kingdom Builders. And God's done a lot through Kingdom Builders. If you're brand new to Kingdom Builders is a channel by which we send all of our funds to love people and reach people, both here at home and around the world. Everything in Kingdom Builders usually falls in three categories. Number one is future generations. Like when you send a kid to youth camp, you're not just paying away for their camp. I had a phone call from a buddy of mine a few weeks ago who I went to youth camp with. He now has a son that's about 10 or 11 years old, and he called me and said, "Hey, Greg, do you still send people to that same youth camp we went to 30 years ago?" What happened at youth camp still has an impression on his life that he wants his kids to have an impression on. When you give to something like that, it doesn't just affect this generation, it affects future generations. So it pays for future generations. It also pays for things like buildings that not just this generation enjoys, but generations to come enjoy. Another area is local outreaches, where we partner with things like Ability Tree and Snack Pack and other Options Pregnancy Center, other partnerships we have. And then there's the global footprint, where we partner with missionaries around the world. I want to just tell you a few examples of what God's put in our heart this year to do. That in just a few minutes, I'll just prepare you. I want to ask you to partner with us financially. I'm going to be asking you to partner with us in service to go see some things done later, but today is about the financial aspect of it. Pastor, why would I give a single dollar to something like Kingdom Builders? It's easy. Because people matter to God. That's why. No other reason. It's not about dollars and cents. It's about souls that need saviors, that needs a savior. So the first thing about Kingdom Builders I want to talk to you is we're intending on investing over $20,000 this year in love in our community through things like Snack Pack, Mission Community, Ability Tree, Options Pregnancy Center. We're convinced that we can let the city of Cabot know that Jesus loves them, not just through our ministry, but through the ministries of our partners around the world, around the city. You could say, well, Pastor, there's plenty of other churches that are doing great things to reach people, but here's the thing. I am thoroughly convinced that there are certain people on this planet and in this city that will only be reached by this church. And they'll only be reached by you. So we're going to invest locally this year. Secondly, we're going to invest in future generations. When I talk about investing in future generations, giving is a powerful thing, because when you give, many times you're not just affecting people's lives today, you're affecting people's lives tomorrow, the next year, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. You're affecting them. So we're partnering with ways to shape our kids' lives and their kids' lives. One of the ways we're going to do that is starting today. You know, in 2021, wasn't too long ago, right? Just a few months ago, God allowed us to purchase in cash that property next door. And we've been praying, God, what would you have us do with it? And so in 2022, starting today, it is our goal by the end of this year to raise $200,000 to build a brand new multi-purpose facility, over 6,000 square feet, that your kids and your kids' kids can have places to fellowship, recreation, and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's going to, you may wonder, well, Pastor, what's that going to look like? Amen? It's going to look something just like this. It's going to be a remaking of our current facility. And there's the new building on the end. There's going to be a double-lane drive-through through their existing building, another building. Someone saw this printout in a local print shop this past week, and they said, man, where is that church? I think I've seen it before. And the guy said, you've never seen it before, but you're going to see it soon. Amen? I receive that. I receive that. So part of Kingdom Builders this year is going to be raising $200,000 to build that building. If you want to stay for the business meeting, we're getting to the details of how, when, what, all that kind of stuff. Then their third area of Kingdom Builders is our global footprint. We're also, our major project in this area for 2022 is going to be Project Rescue. If you're not familiar with Project Rescue is not a, it's not a, an organization that brings awareness to sex trafficking. It's not an organization that brings awareness to the fact that both here in the U.S. and around the world, every single day, hundreds and thousands of young kids and women are being trafficked for sexual exploitation. It's not an organization that does that. It's actually an organization that reaches into the highways and the byways and the red light districts around the world, and they do exactly what their name says. They literally rescue kids and women who are being exploited in sex trafficking. You see the two girls on your screen. We recently received their stories. Addison shared it in youth a few weeks ago. First girl, her name is Samara. She was born HIV positive. Her mother was prostituted, working in the brothels of Bombay. Project Rescue staff in Bombay were able to secure Samara's release when she was a baby, since the girl's mother was dying and no one would be there to care for her. As Samara grew, she almost died a couple of times due to the HIV infection. At one point, when she was just a toddler, the hospital told her that there was no way that she would make it. Her immune system was crushing. Her bacterial infection was setting in. The church dedicated special time to pray on her behalf. And even though the doctors told the workers at Project Rescue the girl's situation was hopeless and that she would soon die, the church never stopped praying. And overnight, when the child's condition seemed utterly hopeless, her vital signs began strengthening. The bleeding ceased. Her immune system seemed to suddenly come alive despite the infection. Samara not only just survived childhood, but through a combination of God's miraculous healing in the hospital, radical nutrition steps taken by her caregivers, and the Project Rescue home, today she's a young woman in her late teens going to college. Her life was changed because someone sitting a world away in a church just like this decided people matter to God. The other young lady, her name is Prisha. Project Rescue workers were walking through the red light district in Bombay one morning when they noticed a man standing in front of one of the brothels talking to the madam. He was holding a six-month-old baby girl in his hands. And as the workers came closer, they listened to the conversation as the man was trying to negotiate the sell price for this baby. The madam inspected the child and argued with the man over the price. The Project Rescue workers stepped up and demanded to know, where did this child come from? The man could not provide a straight answer, and they began to suspect the baby was stolen or taken from another brothel somewhere else. When they pressed the man for more answers, he panicked. Thrusting the baby into the arms of Project Rescue workers, he then ran off. The madam casually turned around and went back into the brothel. The Project Rescue workers were left standing there with a six-month-old baby girl. They took her to the rescue home. They named her Prisha, which means glory. And that's how her rescue day happened. Today, she's a high school graduate, and she hopes to earn a college degree. Your giving to Kingdom Builders matters to God, and it matters to people, and it matters to ladies and kids just like this. So this year, our kids ministry, our youth ministry, and our adult ministry has pledged to give over $30,000 to Project Rescue with your help to rescue. To rescue girls and kids that we may never see, but they're valuable to God. They matter to God, and they matter to us. So, our grand total for Kingdom Builders, between future generations, local outreach, global footprints like Project Rescue, the grand total for this year comes up to $295,000. This is the largest financial endeavor we've ever attempted to raise since I've been your pastor. It's intimidating. It's challenging. It will require the help of God, and it will require your help too. It's not going to happen by us just giving a token. It will only happen as we give sacrificially. There's some in the room that are already saying, "Pastor, you've lost your mind. That is impossible." And I might tend to agree with you if I wasn't already standing here able to tell you that this year alone, we've already had $55,073 come in for 2022 Kingdom Builders. Amen? Why would people do that? Why would they give? Because people matter to God. I think, have we decided today that people matter to God? So the only question I can ask is this: do people matter to me? And how much do they matter to me? Do they matter to me given a token gift, or do they matter enough for me to rearrange my life a little bit and sacrifice? In your chair when you walked in is a Kingdom Builders card, and I want to ask Megan to just come by to the keyboards by herself. The worship team's going to come back later, but Megan, if you'll just come by yourself for the moment. I'm going to ask you to dream with me for a moment, more than dream. I want to ask you to pray with me. What would the Lord have me give this year to Kingdom Builders? I don't want you to write anything down yet. I just want to ask you to pray about it. Just pray, prayerfully consider, God, what would you have me to do? Let's pray about that together. Father, we know people matter to you. And God, I'm so thankful because people matter to you so much that, and your inclusion of people mattered so much, it reached all the way to my life. And you gave a kid that didn't deserve a chance a chance. You gave a guy that did not deserve a life, a great life. You gave a guy who was covered with sin an opportunity to be clean before you, and I'm so thankful for it. So Father, I pray that today, as we pray, that you'll just speak to my heart fresh and new today. What should my level of sacrifice be to reach people? People near and people far. People included in the generation we see in our church right now, and people that are going to be touched by this church for generations to come. God, help me today. Speak to each of us the part we can play. And we're going to do our best to do it. God, we're not going to write down what we think we can do. We're going to write down what we think we could do with your help. What you speak to us. So speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to take that card right now. Begin to fill it out. It's real simple. Just, this is what I believe God's leading me to give this year. I'm not asking you to give something easy. I'm asking you to give something hard. The only way we're going to reach people that we have been called to reach is if we take the easy way out, if we take the hard way. Last night, I told our men, we had about 50 men that gathered last night for a men's event. What a great time it was, powerful time and worship together. But I told the men last night, do you know what it's called when you do what's easy? It's called regret. Regret. That's what taking the easy way always leads you to, regret. You know what the sacrificial way leads you to? Fulfillment. Fulfillment, knowing that you did the will and the work of God. So I want to ask our ushers, they're going to come down front, and in just a moment, they're going to receive an off. They're going to receive those cards. You can just drop in the bucket. So guys, if you just come down front, but before we receive them, I want to ask one more thing for you. All right? Everybody's written down your number? I want to ask one more thing. If there's any part of that you can do today, do it today. If you can do half of it today, do it today. If you can do 10% of it today, do it today. Megan and I are given a third of what we're going to do today. I know I had a head start on you. I knew I was going to ask for this, and you didn't. If you can't do it today, if there's any percentage, significant percentage or insignificant, whatever, anything you can do the next day or 10 days would really help us get a good start on reaching people far away, seeing the future come to fruition. So anything you could give today, I would challenge you to do it today. You can give on Realm, on the giving app. You can go to Kingdom Builders. You can just click on Kingdom Builders. You can give that way. You can do that right now. You can do it in the next few minutes. It's available to you to give that way. But Father, people have written down different amounts today, and it may seem impossible to them. It may seem improbable to them. But Father, I pray that all of us have written something down that definitely requires your help, and something that would be considered sacrificial. Because, Lord, you didn't give until it hurts. You gave until it hurts, and then you kept on giving. And God, we want to reflect the love you have for others. So, Father, it's not about our amount compared to someone else. It's about us just being faithful what you speak to our hearts. So, God, I thank you for a church that is listening to the heart of God. And we pray that today you'll speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Ushers are receiving. And here's what I want to ask you to do. As soon as the offering plates go past you, would you join me by standing today? It means we're all going to be standing at different times, but as soon as they go past you, would you just lift your hearts, your hands to the Lord and say, God, thanks for reaching out to me. God, thanks for rescuing me. God, thanks for saving me. God, thanks for making me part of your family. God, thanks for making me part of your kingdom. And God, thank you that, Lord, now I have the privilege to sow into others, to give to others the great gift that you've given to me. I can be a sharer of the good news. And God, I want to be a sharer of the good news. I want to make a difference because people matter to you. And so therefore, they matter to me. God, I pray that you'll just illuminate in each of our minds, people around us at work, people around us at school that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray the love of Jesus, Lord, as you said, let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and they would give glory to our Heavenly Father. I pray that our light would shine in the dark places, that our workstations would become salvation stations. Not because we're on the desk preaching a sermon, but because we're living a sermon every day. And the goodness of God is just flowing out of our mouth in natural conversation. I pray you will use us to love this city well and to love them to Jesus this year. God, use us to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? God bless you. We love you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.